This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Scientists have a big job in examining climate change and other issues, but the professionals are getting some help from volunteer citizen scientists. In the February issue of Encore magazine, writer Tiffany Fitzgerald introduces us to some of the citizen scientists here in Southwest Michigan. Tiffany Fitzgerald, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
What sort of work are citizen scientists doing?
I think it's very expansive. They can do anything from test household items to go out in their own backyards and see what kind of species are living there or what kind of vegetation is growing. It can span anything from ecology to chemistry. So there are a lot of opportunities for citizen scientists.
The people who you talk to who are doing the science, do they have some things in common? Are there certain things we can say about these people?
I think these people are incredibly fastidious people. These are kind of people who don't just, they're not just content enough to just sit and be. They want to be a part of their environment and examine it. They have a lot of attention to detail. So they don't just look at something. They want to know how it works, and they like to catalog. So that's kind of, even though there's no age limit on it, that's one personal characteristic that they all seem to have in common.
Some of the people you talk to, this is a hobby that they have. For most people, it's a hobby, but some of the people you talk to have retired, and this is something that probably is taking up a little more of their time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the couples I talked to, Rush Shipper and Elsa Gibhart, they are retired, and they're a couple, and they said that they spend more than half their waking hours doing citizen science. They had built on an external room to their house for sewing projects, and it's been taken over by monarch butterfly research. So for some people, particularly if you're retired and you have more time on your hands, it becomes an all-consuming hobby.
I should note Russ and Ilse are good friends of the radio station.
Oh, okay.
Often come in on Fun Drive and answer phones, that sort of thing. What are some of the projects? Are there organized projects that people are participating in when they do citizen science?
Yes, one of the ones that Russ and Ilse take part in is the Christmas Bird Count. And so in that instance, all of the Audubon societies, so there's a National Audubon Society, there's a Michigan Audubon Society, and then there's a Kalamazoo Audubon Society. And all of those societies have the same end goal, which is to count birds and to sort of study migration patterns and populations. But they're completely separate entities that work together to, every Christmas, go out in the communities and do a bird count together. So that's one instance in which that's a lot of people all over the nation coming together in one time. And now they can put up all those results online, so they're getting real-time counts. I think they do it from Christmas until the end of February. So you can go right online and put your own data in.
Are the professionals then often turning to volunteers, citizen scientists, and saying, hey, we've got a project, can you help us out with it? Is it sort of a collaborative effort between volunteers and professionals?
Absolutely. I think that's one thing that makes science so conducive to this type of volunteerism, is that you need a large base of data to have any kind of accurate hypothesis about anything. So if you're looking at why aren't birds migrating to this area this year, there's no way that the scientists involved could count as many birds as they could if they weren't utilizing citizen scientists. So I think all the scientists I talked to were really enthusiastic about having these citizens involved.
Especially when you start talking about a big area, you know, four or five counties, something like that, you're talking about a lot of ground to cover. And it's hard to believe that you're going to have enough hours in the day as a paid person to get to all that, right?
Absolutely. And not enough paid people on staff to even get to those areas as well. When I was talking to Daniel O'Keefe from Michigan Sea Grant, he was talking about how, because of the way that they stock fish in Lake Michigan, Chinook salmon, that they need to keep controlled counts just to know where they need to stock and where they don't. And these kind of things have real effects on the local ecology. If they didn't have the anglers out there collecting those salmon for them, they would never know exactly how their stocking was affecting the lake.
Is technology making it easier for anyone or almost anyone to take part in projects like this that are science related?
I think it does. I think smartphones have made it possible for people to be out in the field, out in nature, and observing, and then putting that straight into their phone, which can then be uploaded onto a site immediately. So it ends up making the data more controlled. So I think it's enabled people hugely. You have GPS, camera, all of those capabilities right with you when you're in nature.
Are there certain applications which are being designed specifically with the idea that citizen scientists would be able to use them?
Yeah, absolutely. I talked to two professors from Michigan Tech University, and they had come up with EthnoApp, which I had talked about in the article, which was a way to store interviews and photos and have it uploaded directly. But they're also coming up with two other apps, one that's designed for beach monitoring, so just making sure that water quality, what is it like around all the shores of the lakes in Michigan, and another one that monitors lichen. So there are a lot of, and that's just one set of scientists who are looking to develop that. There are a lot of other applications online.
Are there limits to what a citizen scientist can do? After all, people who become professional scientists go to school for years and they have years of training. So are there some limits as to what a citizen scientist can do in terms of helping with a project?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think after years and years of helping, you start understanding on the level of a scientist what's going on in at least your local community. But what citizen scientists are really doing is data collection. And as far as analyzing that data or putting it into a hypothesis or trying to predict climate patterns or migration patterns, that's something where citizen scientists are going to be held back in their knowledge. And a lot of times, too, with citizen scientists who might try it out and it's not for them, that data doesn't end up being good data either, because it takes a long time to practice to get data that it has controls and variables and that's usable data. And that's something the scientific community is trying to make easier for anybody, you or me, to go out and get good data. But that takes practice. So if you are just starting out in citizen science, a lot of times that data might end up on the outliers too.
Now, as you mentioned, there are retirees who have picked this up as a hobby, something that can almost become near a full-time job later in life. At the other end of the spectrum, though, there are kids who are also interested in citizen scientistic work. What are some of the things that they're doing?
I talked to Brandon Schroeder who in the article, and he's up by Lake Huron, and he works with kids through 4-H camps and their schools. And kids can come out because they're in a setting where they're already learning about science in class, and they have some time available during the day to have these kind of, where the Michigan DNR can work in conjunction, or the Michigan Sea Grant can work in conjunction with classrooms, where they can go right out into their environment and count species, take samples. There are just a lot of different opportunities for kids to get involved in their local community. And because they're inquisitive in nature, it ends up being a great partnership, I think.
And of course, we're at a time where we're really trying to push children into science-related fields and getting interest in that sort of thing. Is that one of the hopes here, that citizen scientists, if they start young, they perhaps develop that interest in the scientific fields at a relatively early age?
Absolutely. I think the scientific community is very, very interested in recruiting more scientists from younger generations. But I think they also want kids to feel connected with their environment. I heard that a lot from different scientists, that because they're so interconnected with technology, it's hard sometimes to break them away from a virtual world and get them interested in the physical world around them, and understanding that that world is fragile and it's part of a larger ecosystem that they can help with, that they can observe with. So I think more than even just wanting to influence future scientists, it's wanting to influence future conservationists and stewards, so, which anybody can be.
And is that also what's driving some of the interest here, that people have looked around, concluded that the Earth maybe needs a little help,
right.
and they're interested in how it's all working? So being a citizen scientist is one way to, if nothing else, learn a little more about what's going on around them?
I think absolutely. I think that it's very hard to deny that the way we live influences our surroundings. So to be able to get out in a river and see what's being put into the river, how it affects different species or the vegetation, the growth around the river, those kind of things paint a real picture for people about how to take care of their immediate surroundings, even if it's just your backyard.
If someone were to read your article or perhaps hear this interview and think that citizen scientists are onto something, it sounds like something they would like to do, what are some of the ways that someone can get involved?
There are a lot of ways to get involved. I think the first step is to think about what you are most interested in, because it can be anything from household products to your backyard. And then once you are interested, one of the great resources we have right here is the Kalamazoo Nature Center, which has a bunch of jumping off points to larger projects. They do monarch butterfly monitoring, bird banding, they deal with nest boxes. So that's one way. You could also get connected with your local chapter of the Audubon Society. You could contact the Michigan DNR or the Michigan Sea Grant. So you have a lot of resources at your immediate disposal in Southwest Michigan.
We should note we are speaking on a very cold day, another one in Southwest Michigan. Is warmer weather the sort of thing, though, that brings maybe some additional opportunities for people to get out and do some of these things? Or are there still opportunities available when it's cold and snowy and ice is building up on the roads?
I mean, there are still opportunities. The Christmas bird count we had mentioned, that's definitely going on right now. Kalamazoo Nature Center does things throughout the winter. They're continuously bird banding. Winter is a good time for birding, actually, because you get rid of a lot of the foliage and you can see where nests are and what populations are staying or leaving. But warm weather is definitely very conducive to getting out in nature, particularly if you're an angler, you're a sportsman. Citizen science really lends itself to those people who are already in the elements. So, and that happens a lot with warm weather.
After writing the story, is it your sense that citizen science is going to continue to grow?
I think so. I think it's always been there. Even the Audubon Society, which is named for a man who owned a general store and just went on hikes and took, you know, drawings of birds and put it together. I mean, I think that it's always been here. People are very interested in what goes on around them and how the world works. So I think technology does nothing but enable that and connect people more readily with their environment and scientists in their community that can help them.
Tiffany Fitzgerald, thank you very much
for your
time.
I appreciate it.
Tiffany Fitzgerald's article on citizen scientists was published in the February issue of Encore magazine. This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.